we should not take life for granted. We should make our life about something that really matters. And here's what happened later. Like, I needed to follow a 6-month treatment for this tuberculosis. And it's a very heavy, lots of pills to take every day, and also very expensive. But, you know, coming from a poor family, there was no way for me to afford that. So luckily, America has this international program called the USAID program, in which they provide free medication for life-threatening diseases like malaria, TB, and AIDS in African countries. And my doctor said, hey, you should go apply, see if you can get approved. I went, I applied, and I got approved. And that's how my life was saved by the generosity of this country.
Let's go! You are listening to the HeFluence Podcast. And we're having candid and actionable conversations about your health, relationships, business, and ministry. And now here's your host, the Second Chance Coach, Michael David Huey.
Welcome to the HeFluence Podcast. This is Michael David Huey. And it's actually a really bright and sunny day here in Florida today. And I'm super excited about my guest. And if you've been listening to my podcast recently, I've been going through a season of fasting and praying. And God has just put some amazing people in my life from an app called Clubhouse. If you're not familiar with it, you need to get with it. Figure it out. If you're an Android user, I'm very sorry. Your day is coming here from what I've been told. And that for me, not only has it exploded our network back to where God intended to be, but it has allowed us to build relationships. It has allowed us to do business with people. It has allowed us to get to know people differently, I think. I think that when you're in different rooms and you're inspiring and encouraging, and my guest today, I've been in some of his rooms. He's been in some of my rooms. We've been able to get to know each other through this app. But what I think is most important is the impact that we can have on others' lives. Not, you know, obviously there's good and bad in everything that we go through, right? There's good and bad in everything. You know, being in the fitness industry for as long as I was before I sold my brick and mortar business, and now doing everything online, traveling and teaching and speaking, you know, you look at the good and the bad, and you allow God to gravitate you towards the good. You block out the negative. I heard a young woman speaking this morning in Breakfast with Champions that probably shouldn't be, was told she wouldn't walk or wouldn't talk. And she was amazing. She had no speech, and she actually messaged me right before we got on here and asked me what my takeaway from her talk today was. And I said that God is a miracle working God. And it's not a coincidence that Glenn Lundy last week did an overview of my friend Tim Story's book, A Miracle Mentality, right? Which I'm reading for the second time. I'm doing the audio and the visual. So I'm an audio and a visual person. And I think that's what's important for you. When you read a book, it's to learn and grow from what you're reading, right? And so my guest today is an entrepreneur. He's an advisor. I love this. He's an advisor in personal story renovation and high performance coaching. I love Simon because he's real. I told him that I'm not going to get too much into his story. There's some questions that I want to ask him. You know, he moved to the United States from Morocco in 2009 when we all were losing money. Most people, I just say I wasn't losing money. But most people were losing money because most people had invested in real estate and a lot of that stuff. And, you know, it's kind of weird because they say about every 10 to 13 years that happens. And so everybody's starting to think that it's going to happen again. Right. And I don't think that way. I said this earlier when Simon and I were praying, you know, when we first started, we want to focus on the positive. Right. We want to look at how we can make an impact no matter what's going on around us. And before I introduce Simon Massetti, I'm just gonna preface this. I went in, I had a massive dream right before COVID hit, and I looked at COVID as an opportunity to punch COVID in the mouth, right? Like not like a lot of people did. And you know, my heart bleeds and breaks for people that struggle. It just does. You know, but then I heard Mel this morning talk about how God worked her through a stroke. and was told she'd never walk or talk again. And I like it what Simon said, because when I, and I'm just going to say this because I respect him so much, is that when I ask people for a small bio, I think people have a misjudgment of what small is. And Simon gave me a very small bio, which I really like, because I told him that I like to be able to talk about people, right? I like people to share their story. I told him that I like God to lead me. I don't have an agenda here today except for God to be glorified and for the people get to know Simon. He's regarded as one of the most influential coaches in the personal development industry. When you hear the things that he's done from where he came from being homeless, you know, I had my friend Daniel Quack on our call a couple months ago, and at 26 years old, he went from living in his car to creating multiple million-dollar businesses. And, you know, I'll be 53 years old in a couple months, and we had somebody steal $500,000 from us a couple years ago, and it almost bankrupted me and my wife. But my wife said, God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, right? And I think sometimes people get to the point to where the battle is just not worth it. The battle, and what we have to remember is the battle belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. And I think today you're going to hear from somebody who said, I'm just going to, you know, and before I turn it over to him, I got goosebumps as I'm sitting here talking, because we invited God to be a part of our conversation today. And here's what I imagine when I think of Simon, and I'm going to encourage him right now, is I see Simon as the same woman that pushed through the crowd just to grab the hem of Jesus's garment, like pushing people aside saying, if I can just touch his garment. And if you remember the story, she was healed, right? In an instant. And when people go after their dreams and their passions, I was laughing with Simon. I was like, you know, you're in the Caribbeans, you know, what time is it? He's like, I'm on the same time zone as you. So, you know, I asked him how his morning was. He's like, you know, it's kind of punched me in the nose a little bit, but I'm punching back and I'm coming out fighting. So I just like to welcome my new friend. And I think this has been a long overdue interview. So I'd like to welcome my friend, Simon Vincetti, to the HeFluence podcast. Welcome, my brother. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Michael. That's such an introduction. I don't know what to say after that. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Well, and I think what's really cool is I love accents.
Yeah.
I love dialect. I love, you know, I love the UK accent. I love, yeah. You know, I've been, Simon, you'll appreciate this. So I've got, since we just moved to the Orlando area, I have a new cleaning crew that comes, obviously. I had the same one back over for many, many years. And then we came here and it kind of rotated. And I finally told the organization, I said, you know, I'd really like to have this specific husband and wife. And they don't speak English. So, and my first people that I got didn't speak English either. They spoke Spanish, but a couple speak Portuguese. Okay. So I downloaded this app called Translate, right? Mm-hmm. And translate English to any language and then any language back to English. Yeah. So they've been coming now for a couple months. And when they left the other day, they said, thank you. You have helped us understand English better. Because what I do is while they're cleaning, I hold the app up to their mouth and they speak into it and it speaks back to me. And I speak in it, speaks back to me. So, and I know that you can appreciate, you know, dialects and language and learning and that type of stuff. And I'm excited to hear your story about where you came from and how you went from being homeless to where you are now and the things that you're doing. And hopefully that today, when you and I are finished, now someone's inspired, because I just want to say this, I'm a kind of an emotional guy and I feel like that, wow, God is just really showing up already between our time together today and we're just getting started. Is that today is going to be good. Today is going to be a day of somebody. I always say this, Simon, just so you know, before you share your story, is that I obviously, in I'm watching a series, and if you're listening to my voice today and you've not watched the series, The Chosen, you can download the app or you can watch it on YouTube. If you download the app, it's much easier because you can just cast it to your television or you can plug it into an HDI. The second season of The Chosen has came out. And I watched the first season through twice and I had massive revelation. But as I'm watching the second one, it reminds me of this, that Jesus left the 99 to save that one person, to rescue that one person. And I believe that you're going to hear a story of one of those people that Jesus left the 99 to rescue, my friend Simon. So Simon, I want to hear, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are, and so that we can hear your story.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael. I love your work. I love your message and everything that you're doing in the world. I can feel the presence of God within your spirit and your words. My story started when I was 6 years old. I was living, it was time for me to go to school. I was living in Morocco at the time where I was born and raised. I remember it was a defining moment in my life because it was time for me to go to school, but my parents didn't have the means to get me through school. We had to ask for help from strangers and well off, you know, somebody who was rich heard about my story, and he decided to sponsor my scholarship for the next 10 years, me and my brother. And at that moment, at 6 years old, I kind of like understood, and I think I grown up from being a kid to being a man, understanding the importance of generosity in life and also the importance of God, because that was a miracle that was placed in my life so that I can be able to go to school, learn languages, and English is my fifth language, by the way. So for people who are listening, you
know, I love that. And yeah. I'm going to assume, before you move on, I'm going to assume that Arabic is probably your first language, correct?
No, it's actually my second. So I'm part of a native Moroccan, it's like local native families called Berbers. So, and they date back to the Egyptians and the Romans. They governed all Northern Africa. Wow. So yeah, so that's the first language we speak. And then Arabic and French comes in, and then Spanish, and then English after.
Wow. Yeah.
But, you know, Morocco is a very, like, it's a melting pot of cultures. You know, you got Europeans, African, Middle Eastern, and we have Christians, Jewish, and Muslims all living in one place peacefully. And you grew up with those values as well. Yeah, so, you know, my story, it's a story of full potential and possibility. And I think that's the message I carry on right now, to make people understand that there is that hidden hand, you know, from God that's always supporting you no matter what you're going through. Because before I knew it, I was 23 years old, in late 2005. You know, I fell sick. All of a sudden, I found myself very, very skinny, and I could not eat. But what really was another defining moment was when I could not breathe for 2 days in a row, and I finally had to go to see a doctor. And in Morocco at the time, we didn't have health insurance. You know, like, the last thing you want to do is go visit a doctor. And I gathered some money from some friends, and I went, and it turns out my lungs were filled with liquids, and we had to do an emergency surgery. And it was really, really a time that changed everything about me and what I know about life, because here I am at a doctor's office, not able to even take like something that we take so for granted, which is just breathing. And because my lungs could not expand from all the liquids within. And after a surgery, we find out that I had tuberculosis in my lungs. But what was mostly impactful for me is, after we emptied my lungs, I was able to take a deep breath for the first time in like 8 months, literally, you know. And I will never forget that moment. I fell to the ground in a hysteric way, kind of like laughing, crying, and coughing, just from like the belief that, okay, I can breathe again, like I can live again. And it was a sign from God that, you know, we should not take life for granted. We should make our life about something that really matters. And here's what happened later. Like, I needed to follow a 6 month treatment for this tuberculosis. And it's a very heavy, lots of pills to take every day, and also very expensive. But, you know, coming from a poor family, there was no way for me to afford that. So luckily, America has this international program called the USAID program, in which they provide free medication for life-threatening diseases like malaria, TB, and AIDS in African countries. And my doctor said, hey, you should go apply, see if you can get approved. I went, I applied, and I got approved. And that's how my life was saved, by the generosity of this country. And you have no idea what that did to me. Like within, like every single morning I wake up and I say, mantras of gratitude, just how grateful I am for everything that's happening. And in less than 2 years after that, I won a green card lottery to come live and work in the United States, which was phenomenal because, everything changed in my life after I was, after I was sick. And I never thought that I could actually be able to have the opportunity to come to a country like America. But when I flew to America in January 2009, I had this idea that I will earn this chance. I will do something, maybe 20, 30 years, after I establish myself very well, I will have a chance to give back to this country, to do something, to say thank you. And, my debuts in America were not that easy. So I came, and apparently there was a recession in the world, which I did not know anything about. Living in Morocco, living in Morocco, you have recessions all the time when you come from a poor country, right? So it was really funny. And my first job was a dishwasher at a sushi bar in Riverside, California. And it was.
Did you get free sushi? That's what I want to know.
All the time. I actually.
My brother, I would have been calling you up all the time. Like, Simon, can I get a spicy tuna? Can I get some salmon? I would have been hooking that up. Yeah.
Definitely. What happened at the time is, like, I was so excited about life. I was so excited about this new opportunity. And what I didn't know is, I only had a part-time job at 20 hours for $8.75 an hour. And I needed to be resourceful again. So after a couple of months, I'm like, what else can I do? What do I have? And I found myself speaking French fluently. So I Googled French speaking jobs, and I found a call center in Santa Ana that's looking for somebody who speaks.
Resourceful, right? You were resourceful.
But here's the thing. The way I got the dishwasher job is so funny. Whenever I share this story on stages, people always laugh, because it was Monday around 11 a.m. when I went to the University Village, and I was looking to stores, whoever has jobs opening, and this place had like help wanted sign. So I went into this sushi place and I filled an application, and they said, we're looking for some help inside the kitchen. They did not say dishwashing, they just said help inside the kitchen. I'm like, whatever, I'll do it. So they said, okay, we're gonna start calling people tomorrow. So I worked in restaurants before in Morocco, and I had the experience. I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm not going to go anywhere else. I went back home, started watching TV because I was still excited about the culture and the language. And my accent was so thick at the time than what it is right now. So just to give you a reference. But what happened is Tuesday passed, Wednesday, Thursday, like 3 days passed, and I didn't get the call. Now, the hot-blooded me, you don't tell me you're going to call me, and you don't call. Right? So on Thursday afternoon, I went back, and what happened was the help wanted sign was no longer in the door, right? And for anybody else, they would think, all right, D filled the job.
Somebody found somebody, right?
Get out. Not me. I went inside. I wanted to know why you did not call me. You said you're going to call. At least yes or no.
I can see you doing that, my brother. I can picture it. I just had this vision of you.
Yeah. It's you have to get things happen, right? So when I went inside, the lady in charge, she said, well, we actually lost all the applications. Let me get you a new one if you want to fill that out. I was like, sure, let's do it. I ended up having the job interview right there in that afternoon, and she said, all right, come and start the next day, right? So the moral of the story is, sometimes we don't know what God has put in our way. Amen. If you just do that next step, right? If you just push yourself a little bit more and you just allow yourself to be a little bit awkward than what you actually think it's normal, you know, like heaven will open it, you know, for you.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that's how I got my first job. And it was fun. But the second job that I had with the French, you know, call center, almost similar situation. I had the first job interview. They did not pick me up. I'm like, I speak French. That's all you need, right? Like, what is it else that you need? And I reapplied and I got accepted. And it was a 4 months full-time work for $15 an hour, allowed me to save some money to buy my first car. But then what happened is my contract ended in July. And then in August, they cut my hours at the sushi place for 1 hour a day. And I didn't have any savings. I'm in charge of my family back home. I'm in charge of my mom, my sister, and my brother. And what happened is I could not renew my lease anymore. I could not pay, you know, my rent.
Yeah, so eight or $9 an hour, 1 hour a week.
It's not going to do it. So I looked at myself. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to live in my car. So my first experience with Thanksgiving, with Halloween, with Thanksgiving, with Christmas. Parking every night, I would park somewhere different. And there were some instances where neighbors would call cops on me and you know, I would, you know, drive somewhere else. But what I could afford was an LA Fitness gym membership, you know. Not doing here commercial for LA Fitness.
Sour, baby, sour, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So $24 a month at the time. And I would just go in the morning, do a little workout, shower, keep my mindset sharp. And then I would open my trunk. I got my milk in there, some cereal, something like to get you going. And after that, I would go to the public library in downtown Riverside. And I get access to 2 hours free internet that they gave you. And I would spend most of that time, Mike, you know, just looking up Tony Robbins videos. And I discovered Brendon Burchard and everything that had to do with keeping your mindset in the zone of positivity. Like, you cannot judge your future based on your current or past circumstances, because everything passes. Like, there's not like a permanent state except change. Change is the only constant thing that's happening. And at the time, I used to always, and it was super cold, like that winter of 2009, I remember I would, you know, freeze in my car, and I would just think like, why is it that this is happening to me? Like, I didn't came to this country to suffer. There's definitely a message behind it. You know, like, God put things in our way because we needed to be tested, 100%. But also we needed to be pushed to see what else can we do, right? And at the time, everything was about, you know, passion, follow your passion. And I looked at myself, I'm like, all right, if there was no problem with time or money, what am I passionate about? What do I love? And I'm so enthusiastic about space, about technology, about electronics. And I looked at, you know, I Googled the company, you know, if there's any job around. And I found this company in Riverside that's in that field. I called them if they have any opening and they said, no, we don't. And I'm like, all right, how about if I bring you my resume in person? So at least you get to see me face to face. So whenever you have an opening, you can always think of me first, because I needed to be resourceful. I needed to differentiate myself, right? And this is also like with time that we are going on right now, like a lot of people have some challenges. Everyone needs to think differently so that you can stand out. So they said, we don't do that. Just email us your resume. I'm like, no, how about 2 or 4 p.m. tomorrow? It's going to be quick, 2 minutes. I just want to hand you my resume and connect with you. And they said, all right, 4 p.m. tomorrow. So I went in and I was late by 35 minutes because I didn't have the GPS on my phone. I just wrote down some directions and I got lost. Anyways, when I got there, the owner of the company heard about me and is like, I want to meet this kid. You know, who wants to bring in his resume in person? And within 10 minutes, the guy's like, you know what? I love your energy. I love your enthusiasm. We're going to give you a shot, 90 days in our sales team and see how you do, right? And that's how I got my first, my full-time job. And within the first month, I beat their top sales guy, whose name was also Michael. Every morning, he would walk into the office with his shake, protein shake, talking about his gym session. And I swear to God, Michael, I swear to God, I remember this. We had a briefing on the first month. And the owner said to Michael, "Hey, how is it that Simon is beating you on sales numbers and you're the vet? You're like, you've been here for a long time." And Michael said, "Well, everybody likes to buy from Simon because he has an accent, I was like, "Come on, man. No, I was hungry. I was homeless, man. Like, I had nothing. My back was against the wall." And here's the thing. My mentor, Brandon, always says this. There are only two things that can change your life. It's either something comes from outside, like what we're having now, the pandemic pushes you, or something comes from within. And that switch within you, that cosmic fire that I call it, that God willing, that, hey, you have to go for something bigger. That's the fire you want to have when you're trying to build something in your life. And that's it. Yeah. So that's how I got my job and started in America. It was a fun ride. I worked there for 2 years and a half while going to school at night. And in one day, I just quit my job. On the same day, I had my finals in summer 2012. And I started my own company on the same day.
Out of your garage, right?
Yeah, because that's the thing. The only thing I could afford was a garage that turned to like a bedroom.
And an office. And an office all in one. It's funny because Simon, I had a very good friend of mine. Same way, started a... In 2009, which, I've always said this, I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, but everybody that I've had on my podcast, it's not been unordinary. It's been divine connections, similarities, names, like just how God brought it all together, right? And one of the guys that was in my wedding, that was the best man in my wedding, Brad Tatum. If you're listening, Brad, he started... in the right before this recession, a hot tub company and built it to about a $2 million company out of his garage. Right. And then the recession hit. Nobody was buying hot tubs. And when the recession hit, right. And then he was so smart. He's one of the smartest guys ever. His wife had been really good with their money. So they filed bankruptcy with their business. And they thought, well, for years and years, millions of people have been buying hot tubs, right. Thousands and thousands. Well, they break, right? And they need parts. So he started this parts company and then he took it globally all around the world. So now he went from bankruptcy on one of his built and one of the things to his wife being smart because she was 18 years younger than him. He married younger and his wife was smarter than him, which if you're married, you'll know that your wife is smarter than you. It's okay. If you're prideful enough to say you don't understand that, let me just explain it. They live longer than us. They're smarter than us. They tell us things, sometimes you may not believe that they do. They are human. They do make mistakes, but in the long run, the majority of them are a lot smarter than us. And his was too. And so now he has this massive global business that, goes around the world. And so that kind of happened to you. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about how you took that business from your garage, which was your kitchen, your bathroom, your business, and everything, and grew that to $1 million business. And then the companies that you served around that, how God really just, and before Simon shares this, I just want you to listen of how God, not religion, nothing to do with religion, everything, how God, how it just flowed along in perfect peace, and how God took him from made his mess, his message, to being able to launch him into where he is now. So share with us about what happened after that. Because when I look, you went on and started to serve some amazing opportunities from that. So share that.
Yeah, it's, the reason why I actually quit my job was because I was in love at the time with my ex-girlfriend. She was my fiance. And I had the biggest commission month when I had my finals, And I was going to get a check of almost $20,000 in 1 month. And I was like, okay, this is the time, Simon. Take the money, go do your own thing. And my boss at the time, they did not get it why I quit. And so I quit thinking that, okay, next week I'm going to get a $20,000 check and I'm going to be okay to like do my own venture. But when I quit, they did not want to pay me, you know, and we ended up, you know, going to labor department, you know, it took like 8 months or so to get a check of like $4,000 out of that, you know, it was, but here's the thing, where I ended up in that situation, again, like you find yourself with your back against the wall and you have to push through, you know, and sometimes we're so good at always pushing against things that come through our life. You know, we're always pushing against these adversities, pushing against these circumstances. But sometimes the greatest push, the greatest power we can have is the power of allowing that's happening. If there's something that's going bad, allow it to happen and see what the message is there. Because God didn't create us to suffer, created us to look and grow, right? So when that happened, I'm like, all right, you know, instead of being lazy and waiting on that money, how about I just actually, you know, work hard and get things happen? So I remember waking up 5 a.m. and walking from my bed to my home office. And I would call companies in UK and Europe at the time, because it's still daytime at that time. And I was selling electronics for aviation and aerospace manufacturers. Mainly like hard to find parts and obsolete things, because there's a huge demand for that, especially now, like with the shortage in electronics, it's just crazy.
Terrible. Good. Cars right now, Simon, are in the United States are terrible. Like normally, it's funny you brought that up, because I have a friend of mine that owns an Avis and Budget rental car place.
Yeah.
And he always says, Mike, you know, I can get you cars anywhere around the world, you know, around the world or whatever. And I started looking at prices because I'm starting to travel again. So I'm going to Ohio. I'm going to finish my book here in about 2 weeks. I'm going to just spend some time with my mom, surprise my mom for Mother's Day. But I started looking at the cars, Simon, and they were like double the price. Like normally I can get a car for like for 9 days. I can get it for like $220 for the whole time I'm there, you know, $9 to $10 a day. Perfect. Sign me up, right? And now I started looking, thank God I have points and I'm flying for free and I'm staying with my family and stuff, but literally $400.
That's crazy.
And my buddy's like, I can't beat that. He's like, no, they're not giving us any cars. There's no new cars. All of them are going to the dealerships. None of the rental cars are getting any cars. It's like, wow. And it's funny that you brought that up.
Yeah, it's there's a huge disruption that happened in the supply chain and the industries, you know, over the past 12 months. But yeah, but at the time, what happened is because of recession. So the reason why, you know, my whole business at the time started, it's because with the recession that happened in 2009, manufacturers don't manufacture parts and put them in shelves, wait for people to order. That's like wasted money. They now take orders and give you a lead time, wait 2 months, 6 months or so. So it was a nice way to shop around. And also the government came up with a law to help out businesses. And it says for every big companies that do business with government, they have to buy 25% of their purchasing power with micro business and small businesses to get tax credit. So you go to Boeing, there's like a small business program you apply to. You go to NASA, there's a small business, so you get a fair shot. And this is what America is about. Like this is what people don't get in America. Like people take so many things for granted here that they don't exist elsewhere. And this is what makes like this country great. And the model, the American model works. No matter what we say, the American model works. And just look how we're pulling up from this crisis that we're living right now. And the company grew. And what happened is within 4 months of that, because of regulations, some of the parts cannot be shipped to residential address. So I needed to have an office, like a commercial business address. And that's how I moved to Orange County and started working with big companies and also mainly like serving the Department of Defense and serving our country. And the biggest thing that I'm proud about is when the U.S. government called my office in 2015 and they were investigating some things in the industry. And he said, hey, we came across your company. We'd love to talk to you about some information to educate you. I was like, sure, right, cool. Let's meet up. The next thing I know is two agents showed up into my office. Two tall white dudes, suit and tie, you know, from an agency that I cannot say the name, that's under the Homeland Security Department. And long story short, they loved what I was doing, and they asked for some help. And I ended up, you know, serving this country on a classified contract for the government in the space of aerospace business. And I never thought something like this would actually arrive. Like when they sat with me, you know, we just started like regular conversation, and I was pretty honest and everything about who I am, what I'm doing it for. And they're like, yeah, we know all of that. Listen, we have this situation, would love to talk to you. I was like, sure. Yeah, let me think about it first. Cause I'm like, is this real? Cause like, this is like in the movies.
Yeah, it's an opportunity of a lifetime, but you got to make sure that it's that you feel like you can supply what they want for you and your own. Because if you're listening to Simon's voice, like, let's just be real. Like you saw the miracles throughout his life, it's now more of a responsibility. The Bible says, too much is given, much is respected and earned, right? And however you perspective it in yourself. But so he's been given all this miracle after miracle after miracle. And here comes another big one. And we also know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And so I just want to say this in the middle, and then you can finish, is that I'm just grateful that you had this opportunity to say, hey, this is where I am and this is what I'm doing. So thank you.
Yeah. It was phenomenal, because to me, what I saw in it, remember when I first flew into America, I am so deeply grateful for this country for saving my life, because I don't think that I would have thought of any other way to serve back, you know, than to be of service to America in that way. So it was a nice collaboration. So we worked like the whole year of 2015. And after that, the contract ended and I was offered like a government, like a special agent, job. And
consulting, in a job. Yeah.
I said, you know what? I served on these missions that you guys needed help with. I have a life projects that I'm endeavoring in. Like this is my adventure. I would gladly leave my company under your service, but as a person, I'd love to keep my, you know, entrepreneurial journey going. And we departed on a good terms. And the thing, this is why it's very important to invest in your relationships. You never know what's going to happen moving forward. So, so my company grew up from there, but also, you know, as any other business, it's never easy. Like you go on ups and downs, and 2016 was not easy for me, but I had to, fight back and grow the business. And the biggest thing also that happened was in 2017, I had a big contract with the biggest satellite manufacturer in Germany called TSAT. And that was one of my biggest dreams, Michael. You know why? When I was a kid, living in a small village in Morocco, during summertime, my parents would take me and my brother to sleep on a rooftop because we didn't have AC at home. And you would see like a clear sky, like it's phenomenal. Maybe that's where my enthusiasm for space came in. And once in a while, I would see like a moving star, like moving slowly. And I used to be the white kid. Why is that star moving? And my parents didn't know.
Yeah, like, very few people never even see him, and here you are, you're seeing him all the time, right? Yeah.
They're like, shut up, go to sleep, you know. But you know, I grew up to understand that was like a man-made satellite that would turn around Earth every 90 minutes or every 2 hours. And when I started this company, I'm like, maybe one day I would be part of something that would go out to space. And that's the project that came in 2017. And as we speak right now, there's satellites out there that we helped build. And so the journey is always a journey of self-discovery, because you reach a point in life where you also say, okay, what else is out there? You know? So in 2018, my company contracted another government contract, which was like a semi-exit for me with that company. And because here's the thing, There's so much going on in the aerospace, in industry that, you know, people don't know that, you know, there's a lot of espionage things going on. Like, we need the our government needs to protect our industry, needs to protect the advancements, the research, the investments that we do in technology. It has to be American and stay American. So with that, I freed myself a bit, but also I asked myself, okay, now what else can I do? And that's when the opportunity to share my story for the first time on stage came in, and I started doing speaking and coaching. And I understood that everything that happened along the way prepared me to actually share my philosophy about life. Because here's the thing, we're so conditioned in life to think that we're here to get something. We always go after the next shiny thing, but actually we're here in life to share something. To share our gifts, to share like our message, because everyone is unique. God created us with a unique fingerprint, with a unique signature, and also a unique personal story. And that's how I talk in this message of letting people understand that their personal story is so valuable, and it carries the treasures that will open up doors of opportunity on a whole different level in what's possible for you. And that's where my career as a coach and also as a trusted advisor in personal story reinvention and conscious leadership started. And since then, I've been doing events and partnered with a company called Mind Valley to host retreats in Morocco. And we had big plans for 2020. I'm sure.
Yeah, well, right. I think we all did, right, Simon? We all had plans for 2020. And I mean, I had one of my best years after, you know, after losing everything. But why the island?
Yeah, that's
because so before we, and we'll finish up with this, before I go through, most people see it. I mean, if they didn't look, let's just say they didn't look at Simon's Instagram or Facebook, they only looked at his Clubhouse. They would never know him as this guy without the red hat, right? They like my friend, our friend Barbara Majeski is the lady in the red dress, right? Like, you know, there's certain people, you know, that have kind of like their little, we'll call them hashtags just for the principles. But when I see Simon now, I don't see him with the red hat. So I'm like, hey, man, what's up with the red hat? Right. And then when he, you know, in Instagram, like, you know, ask me why I moved to the Caribbean. So why don't you, because we'll finish with this. Why don't you tell us why the Caribbeans? This is your first question. And then finish with this. Tell us what you're doing now and some projects that besides just teaching and coaching, some dreams and some visions that you have going forward for the rest of 2021 and beyond, and how you plan to impact the world by the gifts and talents that God's given you. But first, obviously there was a reason why you went to the Caribbean and are not back in California. I'm just going to guess it's maybe the taxes or whatever, but you can share. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's actually, it's very interesting, like how this pandemic has touched everyone, you know, like every single one on this planet, you know, has been touched in a direct or indirect way. So what happened is my partner, Samantha, she's Canadian, and we used to live in LA. We live in LA. And last March 2020, when everything shut down, the Canadian government closed the borders with US. So she went to Canada and I stayed in LA, and my doctor said, I am not allowed to go outside to mingle with my friends or anybody because of my tuberculosis. Yeah. So my lungs are very, vulnerable. And I stayed home in LA. So the thing with my business is, since 2018, all my businesses are online. So I usually work from home or from wherever we go. So that was really, you know, convenient. But what happened is, after 6 months of being separated with my love, I, you know, we started talking, okay, we need to get together. And my lease came up on, for September, and I had to make a decision. Do I need to renew my lease and stay home for another year in LA? Or at the time, there was this option in Canada, which is called the common law. If you can prove that you're in a relationship for over a year with a Canadian citizen, they can let you in to reunite with the Canadian. So we opted for that. We called, we prepared our documents, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to sell my car. I'm going to donate the couch to the church and put some stuff in the storage. And I'm not going to renew my lease. And I'm going to go stay in Canada with my partner for the rest of 2020 till we see where this thing go. And
then I just realized it was Samantha, to be honest with you. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was Samantha.
I did not. I kind of put two and two together now, you know, because I've met her aunt Nina and some other people. But when I was looking at your Instagram, I was like, wow, I didn't even know it was Samantha. But now I realize seeing you guys together on the beach and stuff and how you host rooms together and stuff. So yeah. So all right, cool. Yeah. Boom.
She's phenomenal. She's just like you said earlier, like they're all smart. She's the smartest woman I know.
She's super smart. She's super yeah, smart.
So I'm so grateful for her. She's the one actually who got me to Clubhouse too. So, you know, I'm so grateful for her. But yeah, so that was like one reason. And the other reason is like my health. I needed to be somewhere that's so safe. And in her town, Thunder Bay, it's a small town and they had no cases at the time in summer. And so that was the plan. And I'm like, all right, this is also transformational because here I am, Michael, letting go of luxurious, you know, apartment that I built, the luxurious car, like a whole lifestyle, the comfortability of lifestyle that I built in the past 10 years in America. And I have to let that go and see, be open to the unpredictability of life, right? Because that was the same spirit of when I came into America. If you remember, it was also around the same time in August, you know, when I find myself being homeless. I'm like, this time I might be homeless by choice. I'm letting go of this. So I flew into Canada, to Toronto. And at the airport, the final decision is for the immigration officer. And the guys did not want to hear anything about my story. They did not want to see any proofs. They're like, no American is allowed, period. I was like,
right? Yay.
This is not happening. They said, as long as you don't actually have a life insurance contract with both names in it, we're not going to let you in. I'm like, we're not married yet. Like, we don't have that. Anyway, so the process was to send me back to the country where I came in from on the first flight. And that was the first flight to New Jersey within 3 hours. And they sent me to New Jersey in the middle of COVID. And I'm very vulnerable. It was very stressful. And I never thought that an American or a human being would actually be, I would say, humiliated, but like he just felt like you don't, they don't care. Like the whole COVID thing, you know, was so powerful in the way people now interact with each other that.
Of course.
You know, that
it's a sign. It's a sign of, it's a sign, not that, it's a sign, Simon, of where we are in life. Like yeah. If somebody said this the other day, isn't it funny how science is just now catching up to the Bible, right?
Yeah. Like,
you don't even, if you strip away religion and you dive into God's word and you, like I was sharing with you about the chosen, and then I'll let you finish and we'll let people know how they can connect with you and reach with you. But I think if you really, like we were talking about this at Bible study last night about how God's word, there's a very encouraging, pastor from, his name is Francis Chan. If you're a reader and you love to read the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan. He's got like 7 or 8 children, and he's brings orphans and missions and missionaries into his home and set up this whole side thing of his home for missionaries. And he was talking about this last night about Revelation, right? Like even when you think about Revelation or the book of Revelation and how God's transformed our lives into this time frame and into this period now, right? Like how he transformed your life and how that moved into there. And I think you just see that happening in our world. Like you see, you know, not to bring politics into it, but you just see it. Like, I mean, it's like my wife and I, we just pray for the gas prices to go down, and we pray for the little simple things that we know. We pray, whether we like the president or not, or the decisions he made or the things that he does, we just pray for him because we know that that's what we're called for. We're not called to judge. God says you love the sinner and hate the sin, right? And that's what I think it's most thing. If you just strip away all that, you find You find the Simons of the world, and you find people that God has a calling on your life, and you figure it out. You have to figure it out. And I think, you know, I just want to say this, you figured it out. So tell me in this last minute or two, how you made it to the islands and how people can connect with you and what the islands has meant to you during the pandemic. Cause obviously you're far away from your love, and that's never fun either.
Yeah. So what happened? So I landed in New Jersey, and then I went to the Sheratons. I stayed in a room there for 3 weeks, you know, trying to figure out like where to go. Every other country is close to Americans, including my original home, you know, Morocco. And on the phone with Samantha one day, we were just, you know, laughing. And we're like, hey, maybe we need to find a deserted island with no COVID, you know, because of me, I didn't go there. And I literally started Googling it. And I came across an article that had, you know, Grenada, Barbados, as just opening up to Americans. So we ended up flying down here, and we rented a nice apartment, and we were able to reunite. And we spent the last 6 months here. And yeah, so right now it's April. Samantha went back to Canada last month, about 2 months ago, because of, you know, Canadians can't stay for more than 6 months.
Crazy.
But yeah, so I've been able to serve people from here, and also just double down on understanding, you know, the importance of my story. Because here's the thing, your story is not yours to keep. Your story is yours to share, like my buddy Tony says. And when I look back and I'm like, okay, all these things that are happening for me, they're happening for a reason, right? So instead of being selfish and trying to do something just for me, like, why can I do something for people? And last Tuesday, actually, 4/20 was my birthday. I hosted a live training teaching people how to turn their personal stories into personal brands. And I'm like, this year's birthday is not going to be about me. I want to make it about people.
I love that about you, brother.
Yeah, so that's what's been up to. And I'll be back to LA, I guess, next month. In May. I got to get through, you know, vaccinations. And it's, you know, I can't take the risk. So at least I'm grateful that our science and our country came up with, you know, advanced treatments for this. And in terms of like what I'm up to, I have a podcast coming up, you know, in the next couple of weeks, and it's called The New Story Within, where I talk all about the stories we tell ourselves about what we're capable of, because I believe my story is showing to people that everyone has the full potential and possibility to create something new and to be of service to people. And also starting a group coaching on the same topic. And I'm just excited for being of service to people and seeing the impact that also Clubhouse has brought to me, which, you know, you and I met on Clubhouse, and also
so it's a blessing.
People. Yeah.
So it's a blessing. Well, tell us how people can connect with you if they want to get to know you better. I know obviously the Clubhouse, but just tell us some other ways how people can connect with you and get to know you a little bit
better. Yeah, there's so either on Instagram, Simon Vincenti, or you go to simon.live. That's easy to remember, simon.live, L-I-V-E. And in that page, you'll find ways to connect with me and also what I'm offering for people for free. And I'm just excited to see other people grow, and also there's a huge upcoming wave, you know, and this tidal wave is going to lift up so many souls, and we have to make people understand that and be of service.
I appreciate that. Simon is, I'm looking today, maybe he's going to hit about 24,000 followers on Clubhouse. And it's really funny. I don't know if, and we'll finish with this. I didn't even know, my wife and I were laughing last night, they changed the logo for Clubhouse, you know, from a man to a woman now, right? And it's just weird. It's just like, you normally clicked it on, it's normally that guy with his head turned the sideways. Now when you go there and you look for it, it's a woman with her, you know, looking the other direction, right? And so it's like, you know, they change, right, Simon? They talk about change. So as we finish, I just want to say thank you for being with us today. Thanks for your heart. Thanks for your friendship. I'm excited to get to know you better. I want to have a conversation with you outside of here, because I work with people with chronic illness, and that's what I do. It's my anointing. It's my gifting. My gifting is to help people live longer, healthier. There's no way anybody, if you're obviously probably listening to this on, you know, on Spotify or Apple or one or Lisbon or whatever, And if you'll see some of the end pieces that we use. Simon and I are on Zoom and we record this just so we can share pieces so people can get to know Simon from things. And I told him, I'm going to share pieces of this for years to come because I want people to go back and know our time together was important to me and brought value to me. And I always said this, I said this at the beginning, you know, God said he'd leave the 99 to save that one. My wife and I go back and listen to these and we feel like, hey, if it impacts one life, we're hoping that it'll be more than that. But if it just impacts our life and Simon's life and those in his community and our community, then it's worth every 45 to 60 minutes that we spend. And so guys, thanks for listening. The only way you get to know Simon is if you go and you download the podcast, you share it with others and give us a 5-star review because Simon and every person that's been on here is worth that. And, you know, go follow him on Clubhouse, get to know him. He's just an inspiration and a great guy. And you will find him with the red hat if you're looking for him on Clubhouse. So guys, God bless you. Thank you for listening to another episode. I finish this with every podcast. Love God, love people, live with passion and vision. God, Bible says people perish for a lack of knowledge. I believe that's extended into our vision and our purpose. And one day we all have to stand before God and hopefully we will fulfill that calling. Have a great day until the next session of the HeFluence Podcast. See you later.
Thank you for listening to the HeFluence Podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review. And as always, you can follow Michael on all social media platforms at Michael David Huey or www.michaeldavidhuey.com. Until next time, God bless and take care.